Hello, hello.
We got everything going here.
How's it going? It would ever be a couple minutes to get on here.
All right, how are we doing? I
Good. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
think everyone's probably on their lunch break, kind of getting settled in, so
Have a
let's get
little piece of sandwich going here.
Let me know when we're ready.
All right. We just have a couple more people joining on, and then we'll get started here. All right, everybody, welcome to Toolbox Tuesday. We love our Toolbox Tuesdays around here. In case anybody wanted an explanation, if you guys haven't been with us before, Toolbox Tuesday is something that we do in our practices every Tuesday. We pick one of the tools in our toolkit. In our practices this morning, all of our team members went through our implant setups and our cheat sheets that we have that tell everyone how to do an implant setup. So we did that for our huddles this morning. And today we're going to be sharing some of our first 400 program because that has been a highly requested asset that we have. So we wanted to share that with everyone today for our webinar on Toolbox Tuesday.
So why are we doing this, Jennifer? What is the whole reason that we're even getting on here and kind of explaining what we do? Why did we even get to Toolbox Tuesday and what we're talking about today in First 400?
So we found we had so many assets, and we do have so many assets. We have an entire training platform that is built out for our team members that they aren't seeing all of those assets every single day. So they honestly forget some of the resources that they have.
Right.
So it's really just a good opportunity to help calibrate everyone together, re-review it, and honestly to make sure that everything is relevant. You know, things are being updated and what have you. We have what we call live core values. We do not believe in having SOPs or standard operating procedures that just sit on a shelf and collect dust. They are active in our practices, literally up on the computer screens as we are doing our tasks every single day. And that is where the First 400 program started. Our First 400 program is our training platform, which we're going to get into a little bit more details here. But yeah, Toolbox Tuesday was the first start of that and helping hold team members accountable for the resources that they have. We talk a lot about commission versus omission concept and whether someone has the tools that they need or if we have not provided them with those tools. So Toolbox Tuesday is an opportunity to confirm everyone has the tools they need.
Right. Our core values are even so live that they have their own custom emojis on our chat system
Oh, they sure
that they go
do.
flying around many, many times a day.
Yes, they
So,
sure do.
yeah. What about the first 400? So the first 400, and I think this is basically what we have named our training platform, or at least our training program for our new hires, whether they're front office or back office. But what was the whole reason that we even got into that? And what was the whole reason that we even started something like the first 400? And what was the reason we named it that?
First 400, if you'll notice the theme, Jennifer really likes alliteration for things because it helps people remember the names of things. And the names of all of our programs have become part of our vernacular and our practices. But the first 400 started because we needed a way to make sure that our training was consistent across all of our departments and honestly to accelerate the training program that we had before. We were finding that it was taking us 6 months, a year, or sometimes even longer to onboard a new team member, only to find at the end of that year that they weren't the right fit for our team. So we needed to take that 6 month period and shorten it down to 60 days. So this first 400 is the first 400 hours that a new team member will spend with our practices evaluating whether or not they are the right fit for us. So in 10 weeks or under, we will have taken them through all of the steps that they need to be successful in their role and make sure that it's worth the time, energy, and effort of putting more into a new team member.
Yeah. And the 60 days and the first 400, I think, was a huge shift for us and a real big benefit because essentially what that gave us was the ability to find out if someone was going to work or not work very quickly. Right. I think so often in the past, we would train someone, we liked them, we thought they were going to be pretty good, waiting for them to really be a key player, really a contributing member of the team. Only to kind of find out a lot of times that 6 months, 12 months kind of went by and they're not really pulling their own weight, nor are they even contributing. And I think this was our way to, even if we like someone personality-wise, they fit well with the team, all those other things, we got to find out if you're going to be someone who's going to row the boat with us in the first 60 days, especially given the fact that after 90 days, from an HR standpoint, and I can have Jennifer speak a little bit more about this, is at the 90-day mark, there's a lot more risk from an employer standpoint after that, from a termination standpoint. And that was a huge kind of shift. If we're going to find out if someone really is going to be a part of this team, and we're going to put the time, effort, and a lot of money, quite frankly, into this person, we need to find out if that person's going to be worth it very, very quickly. So.
Well, and it helps hold our existing team members accountable as well, because a lot of times when training, you assume that you explain something well, or there's just steps that are skipped because it is so natural to someone that they forget. Someone coming in doesn't know steps 1 through 5. If they're just skipping them to step 20, it really makes us take a look at ourselves and did we go through that checklist? Have we started at the basics? We talk about even, back office, you have a dental assistant who comes in and you assume they have experience in sterilization, only to find out, maybe they were in an office, they weren't even wearing gloves in sterilization,
Right.
and we can't take any of that for granted. So it makes sure that our existing team members are also giving someone the best shot, not just because it's a new person that's an invader in the practice that we're just going to ask them right off the bat. No, let's actually go through our checklist and have a very objective way to evaluate performance.
Yeah, because it's, finding if someone's going to work or not within 6 months or a year, things like that just didn't work for us. It just, we didn't have the type of business. We're not a massive DSO. We're not someone that can kind of get 10 different people in within a few months and then try a bunch of people. When we're hiring someone, we're taking it slow. We're making sure as much as we can figure out that that person's going to be the right fit. And we got to really be sure after that first 60 days or so, not 6 months. We just don't have the time, the resources to put into someone. And the team, it stresses them out a lot. At least that was our experience, is that, having someone that's not necessarily a team player, not necessarily pulling their own weight for 6 months and waiting for that person to jump on board, it really hurt our business. It hurt our production. It hurt our team's bonus. It hurt a lot of things. And it was really, really stressful from a culture standpoint, too.
Well, and what we also found that we were guilty of is we were holding back on hiring or replacing
Yeah.
someone that we knew needed to go because of what a drain that training someone was going to be. We knew the time and energy, the impact of production on our doctors, the impact of production on our team members, and they would be stressed out, the time it was taking them away from other things with patient care. So we made excuses for a lot of people who really needed to go without having a system in place to be able to replace them.
Yeah.
And the reality is that even if you aren't looking to replace someone, you were in a completely different climate than it used to be. Loyalty is great, but life will always win out over loyalty. And if you're waiting for the unicorn employee who's going to be with you for 10 years, you could be waiting for 10 years for that unicorn employee. At this point in time, we see a win as someone who stays with us for a year or two. If we get a great couple of years out of them, that's a win on both sides of things. People have to move on with other things and careers. We've had both front office and back office team members who have gone on dental school. Other things happen along the way, which we're happy to support them in that journey because we know, even though we're sad to see some of those people move on to other things, we can also train the next team member who wants an opportunity.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that's probably the biggest benefit I saw about this is having the team have a framework and knowing how they're going to be able to train someone. Just to kind of give you a little bit of insight into the way we run our practices, all of our team members hire, all of our team members fire, and all of our team members train every single team member. So yes, Jennifer and I always have the control. We always have the last word. but they're the ones that are voting on who joins and if we need a team member to join and how that person's going to be trained and honestly if that person's voted off the island. So it's something we've done for a long time, and it's not an easy process to maintain. But that was one of the biggest things that I saw with the first 400 is when we, because we implemented the having the team train and hire, excuse me, we had the team hire before we had the team train 100%. A lot of times it was just Jennifer and I doing that. And what we really ran into a lot of times was a lot of complaints from front, back office, everywhere. Hey, we need more help in the front. Hey, we need more help in the back. I'm just overworked. Things aren't getting done the way we want to do it. And then they would say we could go, hire front office, back office. And if that person didn't work out, it was our fault, right?
100%. Yeah, and I mean they hated everyone. I mean, let's
Yeah.
call it what it is. They hated everyone who walks through the door, and they still hate most people who walk through the door. But they have to take a little bit of accountability and responsibility. And I nicely remind them, this is the person that you all chose. And it helps them also realize there's cycles, right? I mean, I tell new team members who come on board, after a couple of weeks, they are going to feel like they made a mistake in a lot of situations, right? You're going to be overwhelmed with all of the new information. And I remind them of the bigger picture. We are not expecting for someone to come in and have everything down on the third day. We every week have certain goals that we're working towards, and we are looking for progress over perfection. And that helps a ton from a new team member's perspective. But we also have to remind our existing team members of that. One of the things that we have really prided ourselves on, and part of this came out of a need, honestly, is 90% of our team came to us without any dental experience at
Right.
all. And we again had been in a cycle that so many people are in where you're looking for someone who has experience, you're looking for an assistant who's licensed, depending on what state you're in. Those can be very difficult individuals to find. And with experience comes a lot of bad habits that may not be the way that you want things to run in your practice. The flip side is you have to be able to onboard someone who is coming in completely green and doesn't know their mesial from their distal, because that is real life. And from a doctor's perspective, Stan, I mean, what did that look like for you prior to this when you were trying to train an assistant, for example?
Yeah, it was really tough. And so what it really just bit by the nature of the time and what we were able to do, but every time I had to train someone, it had to be on the job. I didn't have a choice. We're all busy as dentists, we're all busy as office managers, as assistants. We don't have time to break away from our day-to-day in order to train people a lot of times. And if we do, we're probably not busy enough. And what that really resulted in was only being able to train on the situations that came up. And it was very, very slow process. And it had a lot of different downstream effects, mainly, all the way from, like Jennifer mentioned, in who I wanted to hire. I think that's why so many of us dental professions want to hire someone with a lot of experience, because we know that it's going to take us a lot of time on the job training to train someone. If someone can come in already knowing a lot of it, then it's going to be a lot of a bigger burden off of our shoulders. But with that comes a lot of issues. People with working in the dental industry for long times, they do things their way. It might not be the way that you want things done, and it just these types of situations can really create some problems. The other situation that it really gave me a really hard time was if I'm only training in those situations. Meaning one situation came up with a patient, one situation came up in sterilization, one situation came up in front office. Every single thing I was training on seemed like a special circumstance.
Right.
And, the more special circumstances you have, the less you can have a framework to rely on, because everything relies on someone's expertise or experience, or just how many times they've seen that situation in the past, and not necessarily following a script, not necessarily following recipe, not necessarily following whatever protocol. We call them cheat sheets in our office, things like that. And I always go back to the, in a novice's mind, there's many options, and an expert's there's few. And that's really what these training programs have kind of given us, is there really aren't that many special circumstances in dentistry. Right. And if there are, we're doing something wrong, because it really should be Groundhog Day every single day. Yes, there's those patient conversations. Yes, there's those billing issues. Yes, there's a situation with, you know, whatever clinical outcome we're trying to achieve in a different situation, but it's not that different, right? We essentially do the same thing day in, day out. And if we're taking an assistant or a front office person through every situation like it's a special circumstance, they're thinking in their mind, I just need to have more experience, right? Well, that's not really the best way that we found to get people being a big part of the team. The best way that we found is once we had these are the protocols, this is the only thing you do. We got to learn the protocols, learn the systems, and really look for ways that there are no special circumstances. And if you think there are one, try to fit it into a box as much as you can, because if you can't fit something into a framework, you're really just relying on your own expertise. And a lot of times your own expertise is not necessarily what that doctor would have wanted, or your team members would have wanted, or they can't support or follow you in those situations either. So
It's really challenged our communication, you know, with our doctors in our practices because we have a group practice. We have multiple doctors, and their strengths are not teaching everyone everything, right? You know, and they're focused on production as they should be. They're focused on treating that patient, and it was putting a lot of pressure on them unnecessarily that was taking them away from their main focus, which is production. But one of the benefits that came out was communication. Also, you know, as Sten was mentioning, there is a recipe to what we're doing. You know, I say all the time, we're baking the cookies. You know, is it chocolate chip? Is it oatmeal? Is it sugar cookie? We're baking the cookies every day. And this also ties into what we'll be talking about next week with some of the top 10 patient scenarios and how we respond to those. But it really did challenge our doctors to realize that, hey, I need to make sure what I also am expecting from my assistants is in this program, right? I know what resources they have available. This is what I can expect for them to do. And my wishes, my method to the madness is outlined here as well.
So back to kind of the point about the team hiring, firing, kind of training, because I think that's such an important point about this whole thing,
Yes.
is the one problem that we saw when we put the cart before the horse a little bit, I think, in retrospect, meaning that we had the team trying to kind of vote. Essentially, they weren't giving the final decision at the time about the hiring and things like that. But we wanted them to see. We got so many of those comments about, hey, you hired someone that's lazy. You hired someone that doesn't know what they're doing. You hired someone without dental experience. All these different things that everyone gets complaints from their existing team. So we wanted them to be involved in the hiring process a little bit more. And that part was, I think, really worked. And it's something that's continued with our practices till now. And definitely will for the foreseeable future. But and it definitely solved for that you hired someone who's lazy, whatever the problem they had with it was. But it didn't solve for the them voting to hire or not to hire someone. And I think that really changed when we had them training someone. And the problem we had before the first 400 is we had them hire, we had them fire, we had them train, but we didn't give them a set framework to how to train. And it was a little bit free form. Yes, we had protocols and systems and cheat sheets at the time, but it was more finding out who that person was and then molding that training protocol or system to that person. I mean, if someone came in with a little bit of expertise, if someone came in a little bit of dental knowledge, or they had some experience in, you know, a service industry, something like that, is that we were basically customizing every training program for that person. And so the team really had no idea how that person was going to have to be trained once they were hired. Every office is busy. We're seeing a lot of patients. We have a lot of things, a lot of billing, a lot of, you know, back office, front office duties, things like that. Once again, anytime we took that time to train someone, we were not doing our actual jobs, right? And so what happened was that I noticed, at least, was they would always want someone for help, but they had no idea how long it would take them, and they would actually vote to not hire someone simply because they didn't want to train them, right? And that really eroded the culture, really kind of raised the stress level with everyone. Whole bunch of bad things kind of came around where, you know, it always becomes our fault in the end. But once we kind of a really formalize the training program and the steps that people took to train, no matter how much experience you had, that really was a little bit of a shift for us. And don't you agree? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. They really had to take some accountability and realize that they needed the framework, but they also might be part of the problem. You know, if one person didn't know how to do one task, well, you know, again, something as simple as making sure that they understood where our team roadmap was and what that looks like, that's our checklist every single day, they would be frustrated that someone hadn't gone through the roadmap checklist. No one had showed them the roadmap checklist yet. And that's something that is specific to us, that's not something that they're going to come in knowing. So it really opened their eyes also. And, you know, after they did put in a little bit of time and realize the things that they saw in those people as potential and how they could help really set someone up for success and help someone build a career, there's a ton of reward in that. You know, they get to see now that they take some of these front office or back office team members who we've had several who have come in without experience, who are the people who have gone into dental school that didn't have an interest in dentistry before, and they were the ones that helped get them to that point. And that really, really helps from a team cohesive standpoint.
The hires that come in with the most experience, there's so many of them that are so fantastic, but there's so many that are not. And not to say that they're not good workers, but they've been living their entire career on a different model or a different framework, even if it's the same general dentistry office, specialist office, whatever it is. But they maybe have been working in the dental industry since, you know, before people had teeth, but that doesn't mean that they know our system. It doesn't know mean that they know how we operate. And it was really, really tough. So, you know, one thing that we've done with a lot of our training is not only calibrating the team and then the training, but calibrating our doctors into what they do, right? And because if we have to develop a system, this is how we do things at Pathway, the doctors need to fall in line too. Because if we're training everyone on that nothing's a special circumstance, the doctors definitely have to basically lead that. They have to do things exactly the same way every single time.
No, and it really has helped us from a recruiting standpoint because part of why people just stay in the field that they're in is because they are afraid of change. And we've heard time and time again from new team members that they don't feel like they even had a chance at another office because they didn't have any kind of structure. And, you know, especially people coming in with experience, you know, the doctors would expect that those assistants understand their grunts and their, you know, shake of a leg and know what that means. They don't, you know, that's not helping them with what you are setting as an expectation for that role. So when people hear that we have a training platform and we have all of these resources in place, they really get excited, especially people who have been in environments and not just in dentistry, just in business and career as a whole, that they don't have any of those resources in place.
And I think it's a big frustration in every industry. And when you hear people, and Jennifer does all of her, you know, first interviews, and then they kind of go on the team. But I think, I mean, wouldn't you agree that it's a frustrating thing for people trying to break into an industry, and every single job application they or ad they see requires experience, right?
Right, 100%.
And it's really, really tough because there's some good people that really want to change careers, and they have such good, you know, team skills and communication skills, and they really have the right mindset. But if they can't get that initial job, and that initial job is that on the job training, it's really, really slow going. And so I think that's really kind of helped us, what we think is give us a springboard for a lot of these people. And I think, I mean, even right now we have maybe two or three total team members that even worked in dentistry before we had. So, and it's, you know, unfortunately, that's the way I had to do it. That's the way we all had to do it for a long time. When, you know, when we don't have the time to train, you know, we're looking for that unicorn that's going to come and save the day for us, right? And it's great when those people come around, because I mean, a lot of them are so fantastic, but a lot of them come with a lot of problems, and we could be waiting for years to find someone too, right? And a lot of times, especially in this day and age, especially with the hiring climate we have right now, is people are looking to move around a lot, and rightfully so. There's a lot of more opportunity for everyone. And if we're not going to be able to, you know, hire and train and give people reasons to stick around or even start their careers with us, then, you know, it's really even going to be that much tougher.
100%. 100%. So what does it look like on a on a daily basis that we actually have, ironically enough, it was not planned this way, but we actually have a new team member who literally started her first 400 this morning. So she is going through the process with us. So one of the things that we make sure that we really drive home to our team members and our doctors is that training has to be part of what you're already doing. This cannot be a separate, you stop, drop everything that you're doing just to sit down and train with a person. Yes, there are times that we might have a breakout, that kind of thing, but you are training as you go. So this is an example of our back office course, one of our courses that we have for onboarding for our back office team members. And it takes them through every single week of their first 400. And it lists out everything that they need to have mastered within that week. Now, there are times that people catch on to something faster and they're screaming ahead, which is great, but we want to make sure within that week, everything within that week is mastered. And there is a test out, and there's usually several test outs for each concept that is within that week. Now, the test outs were something that we were also struggling with when we had people that were just kind of randomly training everyone because we didn't really have a grasp on whether or not that person understood the concept. It's very easy for a new team member to say, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. You know, one of the things that we have our doctors do is say it back to me. Right? If you can't repeat it back, you don't have it. So the test outs allow us to make sure that the team members are grasping those concepts. They are not written to be SAT strategy questions that you have to take a separate course for to learn how to pass the test. They are meant to be, you should flip through this and pass every single question. If you do not, that is a red flag to you and to our leadership team that we need to go back and go over that concept again before we go on to the next concept. Because we were finding that we were just like in the hiring process, we were putting the cart before the horse. You know, we would have someone who learned how to do a treatment presentation, but they didn't know how to create a treatment plan estimate. So it makes sure that in sequential order, they start from the bottom and then go from there.
And this is everyone, right, Jennifer?
This is everyone, regardless of whether they come in with experience or not. And we have individual department courses, and then we also have our keys to success course. And those are the concepts that all of our team members need to know. So whether it's services or financial policies, we do not have, this is only your responsibility. We are very big on cross training. Whatever anyone can learn to help with patient flow, that is where we go. So we have keys to success that everyone is responsible for knowing, and our doctors as well, right? We're very big on making sure that our doctors know the resources that the team has available, not that they have to do all of the test outs, but we don't want a situation where an assistant says, I didn't know how to do the implant setup. Yes, you did, because you have a cheat sheet and I've seen it. So it helps us all stay on the same page for accountability.
Yeah. The doctors need to know. That was a big thing for me, is when I knew what my team was and was not trained on, I had a framework for knowing what I could and could not expect out of them. And also it gave me a framework too for if I knew what to expect and what's not to expect, I knew if they're doing a good job, obviously, or not doing a good job. But secondarily, if we need to make improvements, I also knew where I could change, right? I think a lot of times what I ran into is, you know, we could have a team member or system or protocol, whatever it is. 90% of it was good, but we were focusing on the 10% that was really, really tough that we were struggling with, right? And if we didn't have the protocols written down, if we didn't have the training mapped out as a framework, we wouldn't really know where we could change without disrupting the whole system, right? And you know, and if you know, just like in the scientific method, you can't change multiple things and try to figure out, you know, where your hypothesis is right or wrong. You have to change one thing. And I think that gave us the ability, kind of that rock, to say, okay, this, you know, most of this is working, let's just change one thing. And when the team knew the system, when the team knew the framework, changing that one thing wasn't as big of a deal, right? It was almost easy, right? Because it was kind of a welcome change, because they knew the improvement that it was going to make. And then from a doctor, you know, it really held my feet to the fire, quite frankly, right? Because if I knew, hey, we have these team members that are coming, they're gonna expect me to do XYZ in XYZ order, I better do XYZ in XYZ order every single time, or else I'm not going to get the same support. And I'm also gonna create a lot of stress between that new hire, or even that person that's been working with us for a long time. So, you know, I think us as doctors, we have a little bit of a we do things so often. Yeah, we have our systems and they're all kind of between our two ears, but we also know what's going on when we're changing things a little bit too. We know what step we're jumping ahead and we're going to go back. And if it's a clinical situation, we're using this burr first and not that burr like we did last time, whatever the situation is. But when a new hire assistant or even someone that's been working for a little bit sees that, they don't know what you're thinking a lot of times too. And with that framework, it really forced me to do things like pick up a burr and I wasn't allowed to pick it up again. If I'm doing one thing, I better do the next step next, or else I'm not going to get the same support. And that was definitely and I think efficiency is something we're always thinking about with doctors, but that was a definitely an inflection point in my own efficiency in the way I practiced.
Well, and we've also seen, and I've worked in practices that have had it this way too, where there's only one assistant who works with a doctor. And those are a pair, which is great if you have someone who is like a partner in the practices. But what happens when you have that one assistant who calls in sick and no one else knows what your nuances are? I worked in a practice where if the assistant called in sick, they canceled out the day of patients for that doctor, which I thought was just wild that that would be, but it was also a training pain point, right? It was easier for him to not have to deal with having to train a new assistant and just put your hands up for the day and then move on to something else than to have the flexibility of everyone in our practices works with everyone because there is enough commonality of what's happening there. It gives us ultimate flexibility between people and schedules and vacations, and it gives a little bit of variety too. So it really has helped from a flow standpoint that anyone can hop in where they're needed, and that doctor is confident that that assistant is going to be able to do that procedure with them.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that was the reason I think we didn't go to these hardcore protocols and systems as quickly as we did. And we always had, cheat sheets and SOPs and things like that, just like everyone does. But really making these do or die was something that took us a little bit longer. And the reason for that a lot of times was you have a stressful situation. You have a new hire where you get used to working with someone and then they leave, right? And then you're trying to hire someone. And the only thing you're thinking is, I got to hire that unicorn. I got to hire that person with experience. At the same time, if you're like me, is what I was doing is I was writing a million SOPs, writing a million different protocols. Hey, this is my training program in that time. It's kind of a do or die moment. You got to get that person hired. You got to get that support. And then you find that person. And all that work kind of goes out the window, right? Because now you have that person that you're gonna do that more of that on-job training a little bit more, just like you've done every single time. And I mean, just like Jennifer and I worked together, worked together so often, we knew what each other were thinking. And I think there's so many doctor assistant, doctor front office, doctor treatment planner relationships out there that work so well like that. And I think it's fantastic. And if you have that, by all means, we have to nurture that. But if one of those things gets upset, if one of those things, if you lose a team member, for good or bad reasons, whether they go on to something bigger and better, or it's just, a
They
bad
have a
situation,
baby, but,
have a baby,
yeah.
exactly, or anything, I mean, there's so many things that can happen these days. You're kind of shot, in a lot of situations. And it was very, very stressful. And by proving to myself that I could do the same thing day in, day out, the exact same way, gave me the ability to start hiring younger and greener team members, and eventually really hiring only people without dental experience. Because I think that's absolutely our preference these days.
Well, and the same goes for front office. I know obviously from a doctor standpoint, that is impacting you from a production with your chairside assistant. But from a front office standpoint, again, so many times we felt like we were boxed into the one person at the front desk who knew all of the patients, who had shorthand on post-it notes because she was going to call that person back next Wednesday afternoon at 3:44 after the bridge was done. All of these that were just in their head that couldn't be duplicated, or just the one person who could present a treatment plan, and then that one person was out to lunch, and all of a sudden we couldn't present a treatment plan until that one person came back. And I don't want to speak for Sen from a doctor's standpoint, but I think that a lot of doctors out there, their idea of a good time is not insurance billing or sending patient statements or figuring out how to do attachments on dental exchange. I'm guessing that that's not your idea of a great time on a Friday afternoon, Sen.
No, and back to that on the job training. If I was training you on how to handle the front office, then you absolutely were given the shorthand. That was not a great situation. So.
Well, and it's patient perception also. If you have a doctor that's trying to figure out how to collect a copay up front, that doesn't look the best. And if you have too much on the job training happening with your chairside assistant in the middle of a procedure, that also does not look the best to your patient. They're wondering why they're the guinea pig, even though you as a doctor are the one that has the drill in your hand. So
Yeah. And it's such a scarcity mindset too, to think that I just need this one person, when so and so's out, that's when our office is going to do well. When so and so's doing the billing, when so and so's doing the calling, when so and so's next to me, chairside, whatever it is, that's when I can really, be productive or be happy for that matter, be have a stress-free day. That was just such a scarcity limiting mindset, that it really put us in such a fragile situation time and time again, and we just said enough is enough, and so this is where we landed. So yeah.
And there are situations that come up where people, they might be struggling with a concept where we might have to go back to a concept. They might be in week three and they're still struggling with something in week one. The other advantage that we have, in addition to all of the resources and test outs, is with everyone being involved in training, we can take the best of all of our team members and put that into a new team member. So our existing team members, we might have someone who's stronger with hands-on. We might have someone who's stronger with IT. We might have someone that's stronger with the computer side of things, and they can all pool those resources together and can help fill in those gaps. That was something that we were really trying to make sure we covered for. So even within our courses, we have video content, we have written content, we have audio content. We're covering all of the bases for the different type of learners that we have. And then we push back on some of those milestones. Again, we're not monsters. We don't expect for everyone to have things overnight. But one of the phrases we use is someday is not a day in the week, right? If someone comes back to you and someday I'll have this, and we need a by when, we already have it mapped out for them. I'm working on it is also not a goal. We're all working on things all the time. You could be working on that quilt until your grandmother is 97 years old, and you're never going to get past that crochet stitch that you're trying to work on. So I'm working on it is not a goal. It's a by when.
Yeah.
And it then that gets back to them seeing that there's a little bit of a shot clock. We take this really seriously and we're giving them every opportunity to succeed, but they have to meet us halfway. And I'm very upfront with people in the interview process. I wish that everyone could just wake up and it would be like a Men in Black, just put the chip in and you were ready to go. That's just not the reality. So we're willing to put in the work and energy if they're willing to put in the work and energy. And that work and energy is efficient on both sides of things so that our team can train as they go and they're not stopping their jobs. And our new team member can start to participate in the office and not just be a bump on a log that you're paying for 6 months, who actually is not working and helping drive production on your schedule.
Yeah, and people will break the system, and they definitely have in our practices. And I mean, just like any other online training, whatever you can do, you can always just kind of leave the room and let it go, or take the test a million times till you pass it. But what I saw a lot of times though is when we had our core group of team members at each office, and they were such hardcore believers in what we were doing, because every single protocol that was broken just created such a stressful situation because they couldn't support each other. But when you had someone new come in that had obviously either not paid attention or obviously kind of really flown through the training and maybe not really had it sink in as well, those people stood out like a sore thumb. And it was really, that was one of the coolest things I saw kind of happen, just in watching the chats and talking to the assistants and things like that. But if someone wasn't contributing, they wanted them either to level up or they wanted them out. And it didn't matter how much, how friendly you were, how much you knew the person, whatever social situation, they know they have to get stuff done, because it really matters to their bonus. We call it profit sharing in our office. But if they don't have someone that they hired that's not contributing and not working towards their bonus, they're gonna have something to say about it, or they're gonna have something to do about it, or they're gonna have that person take a hike.
And they're going to be a lot more invested if we do have to have someone take a hike. And we've had that happen, plenty of times for one reason or the other. We've all determined that they're not the right fit. They're going to be much more likely to pull together for us when they've been part of that decision, when it's not just, finally all of the complaints reach a boiling point. I end up being the one to fire someone. But then 2 weeks later, they're stressed out because now we're short staffed. No, they're part of the process and they knew what was going to be required, like we have to throw down. So it really helps with our relationship with the team members and to get them to see this is hard, right? It's hard to hire people. It's hard to fire people. You know, even if they're not the right fit, that can be challenging. But ultimately, what is the goal for your business? What is going to help your patient care, your patient flow, so that everyone is as efficient as possible to help drive production on your schedule. That, regardless of the position, is ultimately everyone's main role. And anything that gets in the way of that, we have to evaluate to see if there's a better way.
Right. And that gets back to now having a framework and knowing if we need to improve on something, we at least have a baseline to start from. Right. We know certain things that work, and there's going to be something that breaks every step along the way. And that's why we review things every single week, almost every single day with our team members, is because we're constantly finding ways to improve. And we'll tell them one of our core values is better than yesterday. We call it BTY. We have an emoji for it. And they know that, the one constant is going to be change, and it's not going to be change for no reason. It's going to be change because we're looking at how to improve on things. And I want them to be a part of it because as doctors, we have to be focusing on what we're doing, right? If our foot's not on the rheostat, we're not driving production. We're not driving their bonus. We're not, and they realize that. So, they want their job is to get us working. And if something's not working, they're gonna look for ways to improve on it. And it generally has to do with, different flow around the office, has patient care, how they train team members, like we're talking about right now, but a lot of different things because they really understand the more we get into these training programs, the more we involve them in the hiring and firing, the more we involve them in the processes. They understand how much of an impact little tiny tweaks, improvement can matter. And also when things go off the rails, we call them breaking the pathway. When those things happen, it really, really is detrimental. And when things run so smooth for so long, one little hiccup can really ruin a day, right? And it's unfortunate. We're all human, but that's what happens.
100%. Yeah. Well, we're just about at the end of time here, and we know that a lot of people are on with their lunch break. So we want to respect everyone's time, give everyone a chance to eat before you go back to patients. This is just the beginning of this conversation. There is so much here on this topic, not just with the specific content itself that we provide to our team members, but with different case studies, how we've handled those situations when they come up. So this is just the first in the series that we will be returning to. But next time around, next Tuesday, we'll be back. We had a request to do our top 10 patient sound offs that I mentioned at the beginning of the webinar. This gets back to making sure that we're consistent or baking those cookies about what we are expecting our team members to do when situations come up that they have to handle so that everyone knows what to say. We're not freezing on the spot. And again, this has helped our doctor team as well and has taken our doctor team out of having to be the ones to handle so many of those patient situations. No doctor wants to be pulled out of a production room to handle an angry patient at the front desk. That also is not, I don't want to speak for Sten, but I'm imagining a
Nor are
good
we the
idea.
best people to do that, by the way, most of the time.
Yeah, so we'll be back next Tuesday for Toolbox Tuesday on our top 10 sound offs. If you haven't already, please feel free to follow us on all of the social platforms. Or if you want to reach out, you have our emails from the invite, but we also have connected pathway dentalsolutions.com. You can reach out to us there and we're happy to chat further.
We'll see you guys later. Have a great Tuesday.
Have a great Tuesday. See you back next week.